want to say you.
Sing it to him now.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy.
Good to be with you this afternoon. My, we sure had a good time this weekend, didn't we? It sure is. It's good to be around believers and hear some good preaching, and we've had a good time in the Lord. I appreciate Brother Dale and all the ones that helped out. So I just want to say how much we appreciate everything that everybody did and being able to do that. It's good to be a Christian, isn't it? Let's turn in our Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll just read verses 1 through 11. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we go to the Word. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather together around your Word tonight, Lord, and we're just looking to you, Lord Jesus, to give us something, Lord, to encourage us in the middle of the week here, Lord Jesus, that you'll strengthen us, Lord, and help us along life's road, Lord. Give us something to fight this battle with, Lord. We're just trusting you, Lord God. We know that we've got a promise that we can look to, that where the twos and threes are gathered together in your name, that you'll be gathered with us, Lord Jesus. And we've come together with our little licks of fire this afternoon, Lord, together around your word and look into your promises. And I pray, God, that you'll fulfill your word, Lord, tonight. Lord, come and move among us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we've opened up our hearts to you now, Lord Jesus. You come, and Lord, and quicken your word to us and make it real. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, 2 Peter, this is a very familiar scripture to us all. And it says here in 2 Peter, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power, it's his divine power that's given unto us, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now there's something you can hang on to. We've got a lot of promises that have been given to us, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So he's given us a promise that we can be partakers of the divine nature. And a promise that if you obey the word and listen to the word and receive the word, it'll call you out of the world and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And he goes on and says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, then make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can be seated. The Lord adds his blessing to the word. Now, you know, as you read, I know this scripture is very familiar to all of us, and we've been taught what these things mean. And, you know, what the kind of the context of what this is, Peter's trying to lay out is that that the Holy Ghost, the one that's given us the divine power, the one that's made a way for us to be partakers of His divine nature, has made a way. The Holy Ghost is the one that's building a living tabernacle. And the Holy Ghost is the one that's doing it. So I want to make it, maybe take a title for tonight's sermon is The Holy Ghost Did It. The Holy Ghost is the one that's doing it. And we can have confidence if you know that the Holy Ghost has done something in your life, then you can have confidence knowing that it's not something that you did, not something that you manufactured, not something that you put on. If you look back in your life and see that how God has brought you from here to here, and you know that it's not something that you just sat in a reading room or whatever and you're reciting some good scriptures or something, but you know that the Holy Ghost is the one that has done it. The Holy Ghost is the one that's building a living tabernacle. The Holy Ghost works in such a way, he does it in such a way that no man can take glory. I think that's such an amazing thing that the Holy Ghost does. It is that when you come to church and, you know, a lot of people give glory to the minister, or they'll give glory to themselves a lot of times, or they want to put somebody up in a high place, but God will share his glory with no man. And so he does it in a way that nobody else can get glory. Because the result of his action is something that you cannot look at and say, well, a man has done it. The only way that it could be produced is if God himself has come on the scene and does it. And what he does is he takes men and women that are caged up, that are imprisoned from out in the world, all bound up with the world and the lust of the world and the pride of life and things. And he takes men and women like that off the side of the road, as you'll say, like Rahab and all the ones that we know of in the Old Testament and all through the Bible as illustrations. And he takes those kind of people and he changes them and makes them a tabernacle of the living God. So you look and see what God has done in your own life and see what God has done in the church, and you know that it's got to be the Holy Ghost that's done it. Now, Brother Rand, when he was preaching the stature of a perfect man, he began with the illustration of how he went to the zoo, and he would look at all the animals in the zoo, and he would think that these animals are caged up in the zoo, and they ain't supposed to be caged up. They're not supposed to be behind those bars. And he said, I go to the zoo and see them poor old animals, bears and lions and things walking back and forth. Prison for life, you see, makes you feel bad. After all, they're captured by the intelligence of a man who is smarter than they are. And you see what he's trying to do? He's trying to illustrate that those animals that he looked at when he went to the zoo, that's just like people, that they would be bound up and captured by somebody that's told them a lie. Maybe somebody, we're all like sheep and we need a shepherd, and maybe somebody's told them a lie that's got them all bound up. Maybe the devil's told them a lie where they can't get free, that they can't be loose from the situation that they're in. Told them a lie. You know, the devil many times will tell Christians that it don't matter, that if you make a mistake as a Christian, that God won't let you repent, that you can't come back. And those, you see, those things are lies of the devil that will bind people, and it keeps you in captivity. And Brother Branham, he was looking at those animals in the zoo, maybe came across an eagle behind the bars and chained up, and he looked at that situation, and it's not supposed to be that way. He said they capture them and put them in captivity, and he said, I think about the devil does that. He takes precious people who should roam God's great places and fields and things like that, then put him in a prison house of some denomination or some creed or something and bind him up in there. And what a horrible thing that is. What a horrible thing for a beautiful tiger with his stripes to be behind bars when he's supposed to be out on the savannah or in the jungle or whatever. What about an eagle that's bound up where he can't fly away? And he said it, a horrible thing to see anybody that's bound by any device of Satan. And it's a horrible thing to see a young person bound up by drugs, or to see an old person bound up by jealousy or enmity or pride or lust. It's a horrible thing to see a preacher that's bound up by false doctrine. But I believe we've got the antidote. He said, and the eagle stirreth up her nest. He said, I went down there and sat down there. I couldn't keep from crying. Then something said to me, he said, you've seen worse than that. To see men who's born to be sons of God shackled down by creeds and denominations and people that says the days of miracles is past, when he's actually born to be an eagle to fly in the lights of the heaven yonder, brother, under the power and supernatural strength of God to walk by faith and not by sight. You see what he's saying? That's the kind of person you're supposed to be. That's the kind of believer you're supposed to be. Somebody that you're supposed to be like an eagle that can soar in the heights, that can understand the mysteries of God, that can soar in the heavenlies. He said, you were born to be an eagle to fly in the lights of the heaven yonder, brother, under the power and supernatural strength of God, to walk by faith and not by sight. Do you realize this is actually who Peter's talking to? Peter is talking to somebody who has heard the gospel to loose you from your bonds. He's preaching to a people. He's giving them the recipe to come into the divine nature, to just get swallowed up in Christ. And that's who he's talking to somebody who's escaped the bonds of the devil. He said, you see, this tabernacle, Brother Bram said, is not a Holy Ghost tabernacle. Let me go back. He said, when you go and study this, the stature of a perfect man, the next sermon, blasphemous names, is where he almost kind of adds some additional clarification to it. And in the blasphemous names, he begins to talk about Sister Shepherd's dream. And in there, he talks about how that she saw that dream of the rock box up at the top, and there was a man up at the top who Brother Bram said with the messenger of the age was pouring water into that rock box. The messenger was pouring water, and the man pouring water, he said, this is the Holy Ghost, and nothing will hold it. And he said, see, there's no such a thing as a holy church or a holy organization. The Holy Spirit can be preached in it, but in there you find good and bad, renegades, indifferent, and everything else. So an organization will not hold. That's why he was explaining that rock, but it won't hold. You can't hold the Holy Ghost in an organization bound up by your creeds and your dogmas, bound by your idea. He said, you can't say we got it. None of the rest of them has it. No, sir, the Holy Spirit is poured out on individuals. It's the individual. In other words, that's the main thing of my sermon this afternoon is the Holy Ghost is the thing that's doing it. The Holy Ghost is the thing that will loose you from your denominational ideas and your creeds and dogmas and the ideas that the devil has planted in your mind that you can't be delivered from your sin. And he said, this tabernacle is not a Holy Ghost tabernacle. This tabernacle, this building, there's no such a thing. Individuals that come into this church as Holy Ghost tabernacles. They are tabernacles that contain the Holy Ghost, but not the church in the body, a group. Therefore, it runs out. It runs out because you can't contain it by just a group of people or a denominational system or something, but the Holy Ghost, the intent of the Holy Ghost, the purpose was to come and tabernacle himself in an individual and change that individual. But it's the devil that binds and imprisons. You know, so many times I think we kind of forget that it's the devil that does the binding. It's not people that are doing it so much. It's the devil working in people. And you know, if a man were freed from a cage, you would be so happy he was free. You wouldn't go back and look at his life and say, I remember all the scallywag stuff you did. We're so quick to blame individuals for what the devil has done in their past, even before they're saved, and go back and say, well, look at all the mistakes that you made. Look at all the things that you've done. You know, Before you're born again, sinners are going to sin. Sinners are going, they're in sin, but the devil is the one that's behind it all. The woman at the well was probably a bad influence before she met Jesus. She was probably a bad influence to all the people that she went around, but one day she met Jesus. Rahab on the wall, maybe she wrecked a lot of homes before she met the spies, before the spies came with their message. But one day she met the spies and she heard a message of deliverance, and she hung that scarlet cord outside on the wall, and something in her life was changed. You know, Paul was a murderer and caused many to blaspheme, the Bible says. He had a lot of marks against him, but one day he saw the light on the road.
And after you've met Jesus, after something, after the Holy Ghost has changed your life, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It's God that justified you, a justification that comes with a new birth when nobody can look at you and hold anything against you because you've been justified. Justified by the life of God coming in you and making your soul clean. Justified so there's nothing can be held against you. We should be the happiest people on the face of the earth that we've heard the word and it's made us clean on the inside. Now, Brother Bram said, we are unworthy. Talking about the, you see, it's not something we can do. It's something that only the Holy Ghost can do. He said, we're unworthy. He said, there's nothing good about us. And we're all in one big jailhouse. No matter what corner we stand in, we're still all in jail. One could not help the other. Now, you see, if one can't help the other, then we have nothing to boast of. We have nothing to be prideful of that would say, look what I did. Look at the great thing that I have done. But God, Brother Bram said, in his infinite mercy came down and opened the prison doors to set us free. And he said, we're no longer caged up now. We're not in the zoo of the world, but now we are free. We're outside. And who did it? It wasn't us that did it. It was the Holy Ghost that did it. I didn't do it and you didn't do it. He did it all. Brother Bram said, sin made the great blockade and now sin has been took away by the blood of Jesus. Now we are bound for the promised land by the promise of God, which is eternal. Amen. And that's who Peter's talking to. Peter's talking to somebody who's been set free, who's escaped the bonds of the earth, of the world, of the world systems, who's escaped the pride of life and the lust of the flesh, who's not going around bound by alcoholism and drugs and just jealousy and enmity, but you've been set free because you've received the word. And Simon Peter said, he said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And he said in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be made, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having what? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, you can look in the news and look in the papers and look out in the world and see all the stuff that's gripping the world. And we should be so thankful that we've escaped out of that. Even though we're in the world, we're not of the world. Even though we're living here, we've escaped out of that stuff. To them that have obtained like precious faith, because the whole thing is based on faith. He's saying that I have obtained this faith and I'm addressing this to them that has obtained the like precious faith. It's not to the outside world. This is to the church, those that are in Christ. He said, we have escaped. He's telling us those who have escaped. He's trying to tell those who have escaped how to be more like Christ. How to be more like Christ. Now, the way he explained it in the stature of a perfect man, he said, there's not one person sitting here that doesn't want to be more like Christ. And he went through all the different ones in the congregation that were getting old. And, you know, we've got many that are old here. Sister Cleta's 95 that, you know, you can't, the point he's trying to make is even though you may be way older than anybody else, yet still have that desire to draw closer and closer to God, no matter what stage you are in life, whether you're a minister, a deacon, whatever you are, a little child, every Christian wants to be more like Christ. That should be your desire. If you don't leave with anything else this afternoon, go home and say, I want to be more like Jesus. If there's anything else, everything else pales in comparison than to be like Jesus. I want to be, he said, a Christian wants to be swallowed up in him. So swallowed up in Christ until Christ takes over and there's nothing left of me, nothing left of myself, but it's all Christ. You know what the gospel message is? A takeover message that God came down, the Holy Ghost came down, and he's taken over the situation. And now he said, God wants you to be so part of him, so swallowed up by his love, Now, if a Christian wants to be swallowed up in Him, and God wants you to be so part of Him, so swallowed up by His love, that you are one that you can't lose. He wants that, and you want it. And now He's given you the recipe. He's unlocked the door so that you can have just be swallowed up in Him and be one with Him. Brother Branham said, excuse this expression. I told my wife, both getting old, and I said to her, do you love me like you used to? She said, I certainly do. And I said, you know, I love you so much till I would like to take you and pull you inside of me so that we could just really be one more. And he said, now multiply that by 100 million, and then you'll find out that the believer who falls in love with Christ wants to get into Him because it's a love. And here he's going to show us how that through these promises we might be partakers of Christ's divine nature, these mortal body, how that we can be partakers. I want to ask you this afternoon, are you so in love with God that you want to fall, you just want to be swallowed up by Him? Are you so in love with God that coming to church matters more than anything that the world can throw at you? It more matters more than the family events that somebody in family is, and your family is having on Sunday? That matters more than anything they're doing at your school or something. Coming to church preeminates everything because you want God. You want to be swallowed up in Him. So swallowed up in Christ until He completely takes over. He said we've got to be so in love with Him till when we ask for something and He doesn't give to us, that doesn't shake us a bit. And the only way you can do that is to become partakers of His divine nature. Then you'll understand the reason He can't give it to you. Amen. So who's Peter talking to? He's talking to those that have escaped. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Escaped it. See who it's to. Now, as to the church, them who are in Christ has been exalted above these things. Because when you escape, you know, brother, in one place, Brother Adam said, when you're a sinner, you're on your way down. But when you're saved, suddenly your trajectory changes and you begin going up. Why do you begin to go on up? Because the Holy Ghost is taking you up. You can't help but go up because He's taking you up and He's exalting you. He's bringing you up and you can't exalt yourself. The Holy Ghost brings you out and takes you up in positionally places, not by man's power, not by might, but the Holy Ghost is the one doing it. Not you, because you can't put yourself up. That's why he said you can't add any of these virtues. As much as you strain and try, you can't add these virtues to it. It's got to be something automatic. Something automatic that the Holy Ghost is doing. That's why Matthew chapter 23 verse 12 says, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Now isn't that a paradox, an odd thing? Seems like it's flipped on its head, that you would think the way to get up would be to try to force and try to make something happen, try to manufacture it. But the way up is actually the way down, to get as small and humble as you can so that God can actually work within you. That's the way you preach the gospel is, Lord, I can't do it. I need you to come on the scene, because it's the Holy Ghost that does it. The Holy Ghost is the one that does it. The Holy Ghost is the one that's living in you. And see, to be exalted many times what God does is He'll actually bring you to a place where you get way, way down before He'll empty you out. You see, He'll empty you out before He fills you up. He'll come, make you come to a place where you go through a dark, dark valley. Maybe the valley of the shadow of death, like, and you're looking around at all the gloom, and then you go through that time and you begin to realize that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you come out on the other side filled up. Now, I was listening. Think about David going through all those times where he was out in the sheep code and nobody thought he was anything, and he was the last of all his brothers, and his father looked down on him, and God called him out of that so that He could fill him up and use him. Solomon, that when he was made king, he got before the Lord and he said, you remember that prayer that Solomon prayed? He said, I don't even know how to go out. Oh, come in. Think about humbleness of mind and of spirit to say something like that. I don't even know how to go out the door, God. I don't even know how to come in. But God, I pray that You'll let, instruct me. Give me something. Give me something from the Spirit of God so that I know how to do, so that I know how to lead these people. Job on the ash heap that said, he was on the ash heap scraping his balls and he had lost everything. But he said, I know in my flesh that I'll see God. You see how God will bring bring you down before he exalts you many times. Now, I was listening to that. You might have seen that testimony of the brother in Africa that's a prophet of the Lord that Brother Joseph back there put on YouTube. And if you go back and listen to his testimony, he tells in his testimony about how that his family had kicked him out in the beside the road, and he didn't have any food, and he was so hungry that what he would do was pray all night so that he would get tired and fall asleep. And then we'd wake up again because his family had kicked him out. His whole family wanted to murder him. And he had God gave him a vision. If you go listen to that testimony, God gave him a vision. And the vision was, God showed him in that vision, first I'm going to empty you out, and then I'm going to fill you up. And you see, that's scriptural, because Joseph was dumped in a well and left for nothing. Moses was emptied out in the wilderness. But then he saw the pillar of fire, and God came and emptied and filled him up. So if you'll stay down low, that is the way to be exalted. You see, many who seek to exalt or promote themselves, if you want to promote yourself, there's something skewed in your thinking. But if you get the Holy Ghost in your life, the Holy Ghost will show you the right way to go up, and the right way to go up is to go down as far as you. You know, I was listening out in the yard. Sometimes I'll listen to sermons while I'm doing yard work. And I was listening through all the seals, and I got to the fifth seal. And I think it's that sermon, and the first 15 minutes of that sermon, Brother Branham was explaining how simple it is, how simple, and how God will go over the heads. And the whole thing, the whole gospel is about simplicity. And that's what so many people, they miss the mystery of the seals, because the seals are, most of the time Brother Branham's talking, it seems like he's talking about things that you already know, but buried in there, woven in there, is a mystery that's hidden in there. And it's hidden from the wise and prudent, but revealed unto babes, such as will learn. That's why the Bible says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. If we'll just lower ourselves and get down so we can actually, that's our problem so many times, is we'll hear a message preached and we'll think within ourselves, well, I've already heard that, and now's a good time for a nap. We'll hear somebody preach a sermon like maybe tonight, preaching the stature of a perfect man, and you'll think that I've already heard that sermon. That's the same problem that we do when we listen to the seals, because it's sounds like he's saying something that we already know. And that's why so many people have become confused. They listen to it and they think, well, we already know. What is the mystery? But if you listen to it and let the Holy Ghost reveal it to you, something will begin to pop out of that message. A mystery. Something. God's saying something in simplicity. Because where is God hidden? He's hidden in simplicity and revealed in the same. And what could be more simplicity? What could be more simple than God hiding himself in the tabernacle of your flesh? Hiding himself in you. What could be more simple than that? You see, we've escaped. We've escaped. And that's who Peter's talking to. People that have escaped. You know, that's one of the evidences, one of the reasons, one of the ways that we know something has been done in our lives, that the Holy Ghost has had an effect, because we can look back and see that we've escaped. We've come out of something. We've been changed, and we can look back. Brother Bible said that's how we know that we've passed from death unto life. We look back to the pit. We look back to the pit where we was hewed from. Y'all, excuse me. We're not what we want to be. We're not even what we ought to be. But one thing we're thankful for, we're not what we used to be. That's right, we're on the road. And we can look back and we can see where we came from. Do you remember that story in the book of Acts where Peter was down in the jail cell, and Peter was in the jail cell, and he was a prisoner. And he was down in the jail cell, and all of a sudden the angel came to him and began to escort him out of the jail cell and began to open up the doors. And he found himself on the outside, and he came to himself, and he looked back, and he began to realize that he wasn't where he wasn't where he came from. The Bible says that when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Now can't we say that when we look back and we see, now I know for a surety that it was the Holy Ghost in my life that did it. Now I know for a surety because I can look back and I can see the jail cell, the place where I came from. Something in my life has been changed. The Holy Ghost is the one that did it. You know, I'm so glad that I had nothing to do with it. Nothing to boast of. Aren't you glad that you had nothing to do with it? It was all the Holy Ghost. Nothing to crow about. I know it was Him and Him alone. Now that's the type of person that He's talking to. The type of person that Peter is talking to is the person that can look back and see where they come from. That they come out of, so they come out of the jail cell. And they're on the road. The person that has escaped these things see the corruption of the world. Besides escaping the world, Peter's saying, besides escaping the world, let's just get swallowed up in Christ. That's why he says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add unto your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. How are we going to do that? The way seems all sealed up, but faith is the way that faith is the thing that unlocks the door. Now, Brother Bram said the key is faith. The faith holds the key and the key is the scripture and Christ is the door. See, so it's faith holds the key that unlocks Christ to the people, unlocks it, reveals it. So you see, you know, Peter was sent to unlock the supernatural to the three groups of people, to Ham, Shem, and Japheth, to the Gentiles, the Jews, and the Samaritans. So Peter was sent to preach a message that would unlock the supernatural to them, and here he's unlocking the way to get swallowed up in the divine nature. Unlock. Well, see, if you don't know that you need these things, then you can't even approach to it. But when it begins to be preached, something begins to unlock. When the word is going over the pulpit, when the word is received in your heart, something begins to unlock, something begins to move. And so that's why, that's why the gospel is actually a message to open up something, to loose something. He said, so today we're going to try to take that same key to unlock the way to become a virtuous Christian in the stature of God, that and be a living tabernacle for the living God to dwell in. Now he takes a quick detour here. He said, now after we get through with the seven seals, at that time of the sounding of the seventh seal. Now we're talking about loosening something. He said, oh, the loosening. Of course, we know what a seal is. It's to loose the ministry, to loose seven seals, to loose the ministry, to actually give something in the hands of the ministry so they have something to preach so that the door is unlocked for the people. And he said, we'll see that right on the chart as loosing a message, something that's sealed up. So now I believe that the message has been loosed. It's been opened up so that we can preach it, so that we can proclaim it. He said, the way of escape has been loosed. That the way to the divine nature has been loosed. The way to a body change has been loosed. The ministry's been loosed. See, now we've got something to preach because all these things have been loosed. The gospel has been loosed. And now the way to being swallowed up in the divine nature has been loosed. In Matthew 16:19, it says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And how do you loose something there? How you bind something? By the preaching of the word. The word is actually what will loose the captive from his chains. So what do you mean loose from something? Loosed from thinking that you don't have a purpose in this life. Thinking that the promises of God are not true. But when you hear the gospel preached, it actually looses you from the captivity that the devil has over your mind. Now you know that God has made you for a purpose. And that purpose is to manifest deity. And I believe that's the message that has been loosed to bring to the people, a message that God's purpose for you is actually to manifest deity, to actually manifest God, to tabernacle God in your flesh. He said, now remember, God reveals himself in three ways.
First time he revealed himself in a pillar of fire that was called the fatherhood. Then that same God made manifest in Jesus Christ, which he built a body, made this body. Thirdly, through the death of that body, he sanctified a church that he can dwell in. It was God above us, God with us, God in us. The same God, what is it? God condescending to his creation. God wants to be worshiped. The word God means object of worship, and it's God trying to condition his people so he can get from them what he created them for. He never made you to be something else besides a son and daughter of God. Do you realize that's actually the secret to depression? Many people talk about how they're all wound up with depression, but even a psychologist will tell you that if you want to get rid of your depression to find some purpose. Yeah, I've heard psychologists say before that, you know, if you're depressed, then start cleaning your room. And if you start cleaning your room, then you'll begin to find purpose. Well, God has given us a purpose, and that purpose is the thing that will loose you to realize that God, if he can get from you what he created for you, and he never made you to be something else besides a son and daughter of God. That's actually what he made. He said, know how that God is in his church. The church is now supposed to be taking the place of Christ, carrying on his ministry. So your purpose in life is actually to carry on the ministry of Jesus Christ, that God himself could tabernacle himself in you. Now in Acts chapter 7 verse 47 and 48, it says, but Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in tabernacles made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? What house? Because he doesn't want just a house that you build, but he wants to actually live in you. That's what God's purpose is, to tabernacle himself in you. And in Hebrews 10, 4 to 5, it says, for it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. A body that he could live in, a tabernacle himself in. He prepared the body of Jesus Christ that he could come and live in and tabernacle himself in. And now he wants to live in your body. A body hast thou prepared me. God dwells in the stature of a man, reflecting himself into that being. He wants to dwell in a man. He wants to walk in your feet. He said, that God has always at all time reflected himself in man. God and Moses, somebody born in time of persecution of children, a lawgiver, God reflecting himself. Joseph, born a spiritual boy among a bunch of brethren. See, all these different things that God reflecting himself, that's God's great plan and purpose, is to actually tabernacle himself inside you and use him to manifest his deity. And he said, since that time, he has reflected himself in his church, this side of Calvary. So you see, we're all trying to get to this dwelling place, the tabernacle of the living God. That's all where we're trying to get to be swallowed up in him, just so that Christ can just take us over. Now Peter's outlining something here for us, that how to get here. Now see, Brother Brown begins to explain in the message. He says, now some people who have a portion of all these virtues, they got a portion of all these things, that don't even profess to be a Christian. Because just from your natural birth, just from coming into the world, from your natural mom and daddy, there's people that are a little bit more patient than other people. There's people that have a strength to them and all these. There's people that know that are good in school and they can accumulate knowledge and they know a lot of things. But that won't do it. Some people are naturally patient. They know a lot of information. They got good common sense. They can give advice. They kind of got natural wisdom. But you see, that won't do it. And a lot of times we'll take that instead of the real thing. We'll try to take the thing that we've got from our natural birth and substitute it for the thing that God wants to give us through the new birth. But it's the Holy Ghost that does it. It's the Holy Ghost that's doing it. It's not something that we do it. We're talking about something that only the Holy Ghost can give. A Holy Ghost life in a Holy Ghost tabernacle, making a Holy Ghost man. That's what we're talking about. And Peter's delivering this message to people that have escaped the world and they've been born again and now they've escaped. The life of God has been given unto them, and now he's trying to tell you how to be so swallowed up in Christ that God can have the preeminence in your life. But religion is not enough. Religion ain't enough. Well, so many times we'll
You know, early on in your, maybe in your Christian journey, you'll go to the Christian bookstore and you'll look at all the books they got on the wall and you'll think, and you begin to pour through them and you know, there's self-help books and books on to tell you how to have a better marriage and all those things. And you begin to take all those detours, but you really what you need is not all those books that are lining the walls of the Christian bookstore, but to go back to the Word of God and actually dive into the Word of God. There's no substitute for the Word of God. That's what that man in Sister Shepherd's dream was pouring into that rock box, was the Word of God, the actual living Word. And that's the thing that will change you, because only the Holy Ghost will do it. Amen. Only the Holy Ghost can do it. Self-help books ain't enough. Religion ain't enough. Religion just trying to tack on some nice bird feathers ain't enough. Brother Brown said, see, he made four different comparisons. He compared it to, it's like a black bird trying to put peacock feathers. Now that's a bird trying to put another bird's feathers in it to look like that bird. But it's real close, cause it's birds. It's not a cow trying to put feathers on his back. It's something that's real close. A bird, a black bird trying to put peacock feathers in his wings to make him a peacock. He only disgraces himself. Now he goes to a tree. It's like a sycamore tree trying to manufacture apples. And now you got two trees. It's not a mule trying to manufacture apples. It's a tree trying to manufacture apples. But it ain't an apple tree. It's a sycamore tree. And you see how close it is? You can look real close and have a lot of religion and come to church and sit in a pew just next to somebody else who's also a tree, also a bird, also the genuine thing. But the thing that matters is the Holy Ghost on the inside, because if you've got the life on the inside, the life of the apple tree is what makes the apples. The life of the peacock is what makes the peacock feathers. And all the imitation, all the substituting won't do it. The Holy Ghost is the only thing that can do it. Now, I'm trying to preach. I believe the message is a positive message. And I'm preaching a positive message. And I want you to look back. Those of you that got the new birth that have come a long way, to look back in your life and remember where you came from, so that your faith can be built up, to know that it's the Holy Ghost that's doing it. It wasn't you doing it all this time, but it's the Holy Ghost doing it. You know, I know for many years that this is a message that can be preached in a lot of different ways. And many times it might have been appropriate to preach the statue for perfect man in a way that maybe pushes you down and causes you to come to a place where you know you need to repent. But I believe now, you know, you hear after that message that the brother preached on Sunday, the bride is coming to a place where she's coming to a place where she begins to speak. And I believe it's time to look back and have confidence that it was the Holy Ghost doing it all this time. And he said, the next comparison was a four-legged animal. He said, it's like a mule trying to manufacture wool. A mule trying to act like a sheep. Not a mule trying to act like a bird, but a mule trying to act like a sheep. And the other one, the example, was another bird, he said, or a vulture trying to eat with a dove. A vulture that ain't got what it takes to digest right, that ain't got what it takes to eat the things that a dove's eating. A vulture sitting up in the church and saying, yeah, I understand all the things, but he don't know what the dove knows, because he can't stomach it. You see how close it is? A bird and a bird, a tree and a tree, a mule, or a four-legged animal and a sheep. It's so close, but you got to have the thing down on the inside, and that thing is the Holy Ghost, because that's the only thing that's going to change you. That's the only thing that's going to carry you through. It might look close, but we don't want close. We don't want close, church. We want the real thing. We want the genuine thing. And I believe that the real thing is available. How do we know that the real thing is available? Because the seals have been opened, and the seals open up, loose the message that can be preached. A message that the real thing is available. The real thing is here. If you'll just open up your heart and believe it and get sincere with God, get serious about it. The real thing is available. The weight of the real thing has been loosed. You see, now we've got access Revelation chapter 4 talks about a door open in heaven. And I believe the door is open so that we can go through it now. It's been opened up so that we have a way to access the supernatural, access of faith that will change our bodies, access of faith that will take us out of here. And the real thing is resting on it. Not manufactured. The sheep doesn't manufacture wool. He has wool because he's a sheep. A lot of people try to say, well, I'll try to get good. I'll try to get good. I'll try to do this. Don't manufacture nothing. No, you can't do it. These are Brother Brown's words. He said, no, you can't do it. You cannot manufacture something. Listen, if you're bound up by depression, if you're bound up by pornography, you cannot do it. You cannot loose yourself just by trying and straining real hard. But let the word of God be received in a penitent heart and something will begin to work. The Holy Ghost will begin to take action. He said a sheep isn't expected to manufacture wool. It bears wool and it does it because it's a sheep. And when you're a Christian, you just bear the fruit of the Spirit. You don't manufacture it. You don't try to make it up. Don't make yourself something that you're not. You just become what you're supposed to be. And then it takes care of itself. You know what manufacturing is? When you come to church and you're around other believers and you begin to say, I better do this. I better act this way. I better not say this. I better not do that. I gotta manufacture it. I better have virtue. I better have some knowledge. I better have some godliness. How are you gonna get godliness by trying to pump it up, trying to manufacture it? But if there's the thing, the real thing, the Holy Ghost down on the inside, it comes out naturally. It just comes out like the lily through the mud. The lily it germinates and begins to grow. And it's surrounded by mud. It's surrounded by the filth of the world, the quagmire of the world. But it begins to push up and come out. And all you can do to stop it is still coming out. Why? Because listen, when you're born again, your trajectory has changed from down to up. You're going up. But only the Holy Ghost can do it. It's innate. It's inborn. That's why you've got to be born again. Because when you're born again, it's just part of you. It's just down on the inside, just doing it. Not religion. Brother Branham said, well, Brother Branham, I know this certain woman over here, why she never did do anything wrong. She's a good woman. Or this such and such a man, he's a good man. He never does anything. You know, he doesn't harm anybody. That's why I've told my kids, be careful who you marry, because you don't want somebody that's just good. Be careful how you raise your kids, because you don't want to raise your kids just so that they're goody two-shoes, but you want to raise them so that they are saved. Because a goody two-shoe, it don't do no good. It's just religion. It won't do nothing. You can't add these verses just to a goody two-shoe. He said, you look at anything, he's talking about a Christian that ain't born again, and you look at anything and say, I just don't see it. And you don't understand it. A man can't understand why people shout. A man can't understand why a human being's language would change and he'd speak in tongue. The natural man can't see how a glory of God would ever come over a man's eyes and he'd see vision and tell man of certain things. But when you're born again, you can begin to see. You can begin to understand why the gospel makes somebody happy, why people want to come to church, why you want to get around Christians. You begin to understand because something in your life has begun to change. The Holy Ghost is the one that does it. He's the one that does the changing. He's changing your nature. He's changing your thinking. He's changing your walk and he's changing your talk. He's changing everything about you so that you just get swallowed up in the divine nature. And faith is the foundation. That's why you gotta be born again. He said when you're born again, you can't be born again without having faith. So you see on my chart here, he said, I got the very foundation. Faith is the foundation of all of it. Being born again. Now listen, you know, there's like little nuggets in the message. When you go combing through, there's little things that you can just grab hold to and hang on. Now listen to this. He says, if you got faith, and he's talking about healing and he said, therefore, when you say, Brother Branham, I believe that God is a healer. If you believe that, accept him as your healer and not lying, but actually believing that by his stripes you are healed. There's nothing going to turn you from it. It's a settled thing. Now, that's a weighty statement to have. That if you got faith, nothing is going to turn you from it. Let's say it like this. If you've been born again, I believe this will give you confidence this afternoon. If you've been born again, nothing is going to turn you from the truth. Nothing is going to turn. You can never, I believe this is the evidence, you can never say, I don't believe this message and leave it away, because you can never be turned away from it. You can never be twisted away from it, because there's something on the inside that's more real than anything on the outside. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What kind of a substance is it? It's a Holy Ghost substance. A substance with some power in it, some holding power. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What kind of an evidence, Brother Bram said? He said, a holy evidence that keeps you from being turned away by the things of this world. It will keep you. It'll keep you despite all the stuff they're putting on websites, because you know that God is true. It's a Holy Ghost substance, a Holy Ghost evidence, a Holy Ghost faith is what's been holding you. A Holy Ghost faith is what's been keeping you. The Holy Ghost is what has done it. And that's what gives you faith. That's faith. Holy Ghost faith. With you been born again and God has given you His faith and placed that faith, Himself, in your soul, now you've got a faith that can believe without having to contact something, where you don't need to go through a prayer line and have somebody lay hands on you. You don't need to have somebody touch you. But faith is the thing that it does. Distance does not matter, is what Brother Ram said. And he told that story of the centurion where he said, I'm not worthy. He told Jesus, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Just speak the word. And what was it? He said, faith is the thing that closes the difference. Distance between the prayer that you ask and the God that's there to answer. Faith is the thing that connects. Faith changes things from here to here. Distance doesn't matter. Circumstances don't matter. All those things don't matter to faith. So when they make a phone call and say, pray, that contact and your faith brings God. Your faith brings God. It's the thing that brings the prayer and God together on the scene. Prayer, faith changes from here to here. Faith is the thing that changes from the person praying, from the circle to the circumstance. It's the thing that connects. It brings it together. All Christianity, all you are, all you'll ever be is based upon faith in the Word. And that's what the reason I believe the Word. First, you must be born again. In other words, get a foundation laid. I know we're taking our time this afternoon. I'm not going to hold you that long. Yeah, I know what y'all think when I say, y'all are like, he got to go through all these virtues. I'm not going to hold you too long. But you got to lay the foundation. You remember that story Brother Ram told of the Sydney Harbor Bridge being laid, and everybody said, you can't lay a bridge there. You can't stretch a span between these two places. But a man came on the scene and said, I can do it. How did he do it? He got a blower and he blew all the sand from under where they were going to dig that bridge, and he got down and he dug 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 until he hit rock. And when he hit the foundation, then he was able to stretch the bridge. And everybody said, that bridge ain't going to stand. Everybody said, that ain't going to last. This ain't going to stand. But if you get the foundation right, if you get if you get born again, then it'll stand the test. And they drove all this long line of cars over it the first day, and everybody was standing around waiting to see that bridge fall, but it stood the test. Now you compare that, go back over in the Old Testament, where there was a man who was going through some hard times by the name of Jacob. And it says in Genesis 28 that he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and he put them for his pillars. In other words, he laid his head on a stone. He found a place where he could lay his head and rest. He found a rock, something solid. And that night God gave him a vision, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. He got a little glimpse of the way, the path up to the divine nature of God. But he laid his head on a stone, and until you lay your head on the rock of the revelation of Jesus Christ, you don't have a foundation. That's why Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. That seems so simple. It's so simple that, you know, many people overlook the simplicity of that. The gospel is actually what will give you a foundation, will give you the ability to escape the things. I wonder if people realize what we come to church for. I think that's why the devil combats things in church. He begins as soon as you get to church, you don't fall asleep during the singing. You don't fall asleep on the drive to church. But as soon as you get into church, the devil gets real mad because he knows that if you can get a revelation of Jesus Christ, then you'll be an overcomer. So what does he want to do? He wants to put you to sleep. That one time in your whole week that you should be wide awake, that you should be listening. But that one time he'll come over and he'll begin to sing a little lullaby in your ear or whatever's happening, and it'll, before long, you'll be in the arms of Morpheus and missing out maybe on the thing that will give you overcoming power in this hour. And see, and then if you don't hear it in church, where are you going to hear it? You got to go study it out for yourself and pour over scriptures and ponder and things. But we come to church to get edified. We come to church to get the sword laid in our hands so we have something to fight with. So we have something to peck our way out of the eggshell with. You know, a little chick in its shell, I doubt it's sleeping too much when it comes time for it to get out of that shell, but it's like, I gotta get out of here. And it begins to get desperate. It begins to know where, recognize where its help is gonna come from. From that little mouth, it begins to speak. So what's the foundation of Christianity? Faith in the Word of God, and everything is based on faith. That's your foundation. First, pour your foundation. Faith. That's the same thing in life. That's why, you know, you tell young people, before you get married, make sure your foundation's. You don't want to have a bank account that the wind's blowing through. You want to have a foundation. You know, you want to have some things squared away because the foundation's important. You don't want to just jump into life without, many people do, and you'll have that. But yet, they're bound for trouble. Because if you don't have the foundation laid square, in everything, both natural and spiritual, lay the foundation first. Faith in the Word of God. That's your foundation. Then you begin to grow. You begin to add to this foundation. Now let's go through these virtues real quick. Virtue is the first thing you add. And Brother Bram said, he quoted Luke 6:9, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him. It went out of him. If it went out of him, it's got to go out of us. And what is virtue? Strength or power. In other words, something on the inside that's holding you up, something on the inside that, cause the Holy Ghost is the thing that's doing it. And so he said that virtue is a pass to let it pass out to others so that others can come and smell the odor, can sniff it and get a benefit, can be around you. Like he said, if somebody comes around and they look at somebody that says, I'm a Christian, but yet you're going around and doing things that you shouldn't, you'll get funds, no funds available, no virtue available, because there's no power behind it, no strength behind it, no power of a life of Christ behind it. And I believe that there's power in the church today. Jesus gave us power to cast out devils, power for a young Holy Ghost filled man that when he sees a woman maybe on the subway or something that's dressed scantily clad, power for him to turn his head, power for him to look for a young man or a woman to look at, to bypass things of the world, to not go in the red dot store, not go in the pornography store, to bypass, because there's power in you. Power to live a Christian life. Power to preach the gospel. Power to give somebody something that you've got. And what do you have that you can give somebody else? You can give them the Word. Because the Word is the power that you've got that gives strength to somebody else. Power to live a Christian life. Power to turn your head. Power to believe in miracles. Power to cast out devils. You say, Brother Brown said, well, that was a day from past. We don't have it. That means you don't have no virtue. If you don't believe that the days of miracles are still here, then there's no virtue. You got something to give out. And then he said, you add knowledge. Knowledge now, that don't mean worldly knowledge, because that's foolishness to God, but knowledge to judge. Judge what? Right from wrong. In other words, it ain't just information where you go into a self-help store and you just pile on information. A lot of people today, they like information, but this is Holy Ghost knowledge, Holy Ghost virtue, Holy Ghost faith, and Holy Ghost knowledge to give you a revelation of the things that you've read. The things that many people just look at, you know, the Bible says that many in 2 Timothy, it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So a lot of learning is not what does it, but learning, receiving a revelation from God, something that the Holy Ghost has given to you. And Brother Brown said, you must believe it this way. You should believe today and accept it, that the days of miracles is not past. To know that the days, miracles are acceptable to you. Knowledge that what God said, God is able to perform. Knowing that He's still able to do it. Like Abraham, but yet against hope, he believed in hope because he had knowledge that God was able to keep everything that he promised. And where does knowledge come from? Knowledge comes from you eating the word until precept upon precept is added, line upon line, until it's quickened to you and you know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know that all the hogwash they're saying on the internet about Brother Branham don't amount to a hill of beans because you know God because it came from the Holy Ghost. It's not something that, you don't have a lot of information. You can't fight all the things that they're saying with a lot of information. That's what people try to do. They try to make videos full of information. But what we need is a revelation of Jesus Christ. When you see that the scripture is not contradictory, that you can say that and see that by the revelation of God, the whole word is wrote in mysteries. And only the knowledge of God can reveal it. That when you get and say, punctuate every word of God with an amen, then add that to your faith. And then add temperance. And temperance is the Holy Ghost in control. The Holy Ghost in control of the being. So that when somebody slaps you or somebody says something wrong to you, the Holy Ghost is the one in control. Brother Adam said, how to control your tongue, not be a tattler. How to control your temper, not fly off every time anybody speaks cross to you. Oh, temperance, how to answer in kindness when wrath is spoke to you. He said, you bunch of holy rollers out there, don't jump out and roll up your sleeves now. See, not that. Control. He said, now if you got it like that, add it to your faith. If you still blow up and sass and fuss and stew and carry on, you ain't got no temperance. If somebody says something cross to you and you just turn red in the face and your veins busting out in your neck, you know there's something else that's got to be added. But don't try to manufacture it, but let the Holy Ghost do it because the Holy Ghost is the only thing that can change. Then after you've added temperance, then after that, add patience to your faith. Knowing this, James said that the trying of your faith worketh patience. First thing is have patience with God. And Brother Andrew explained it like this. The two things, the patience with God and patience with one another. Patience with God to know that if He said something, He will bring it to pass. Patience like Abraham waiting for Him to bring that promised son on the scene. Resting and waiting on God because you know that His word is true. Because it all comes from faith. It's faith welling up on the inside, coming up, coming out, knowing that God, faith believing God's word. And if He said it, He's going to bring it to pass. And what kind of patience should we have in this hour? After all this time, after all these years, and it looks like He's delaying His coming, but yet we have patience because we know that He's going to come and catch His waiting bride away. Say, well, I asked Him last night to heal me and I'm just as sick this morning. Oh my, what patience. Noah waited patiently. Moses waited patiently. When he threw that rod down and the other two fakers came up and they threw their rods down. And Brother Abraham said that typed, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Moses standing there with confidence and patience, believing. We've got to have patience like that. Patience, not something we manufacture, but Holy Ghost patience. He said, waited all this time for a resurrection. There'll be one. Don't worry. God promised it. And we should have patience with one another too. And now after you've got patience, add godliness. And what does godliness mean? Means to be like God. You got way up here now before you're asked to do that. All these things has to be added first. He's asked you to be perfect. Godliness, sons and daughters of God. In other words, all the things that are wrapped up, all the characteristics of God are wrapped up in your life. And so when somebody strikes you in the face because you've got godliness that's manifest in your life and you turn the other cheek. He said, ye are gods. Jesus said so. Why? All the virtue, all the things that's in God is in you. All the things that's in God, all the things, all those are in you and you're manifesting in the life of God. And he quoted in Matthew 5:48 that says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And is it not written in your law, John 10:34, I said, ye are gods that have that the words come to. So if ye are gods, it's because godliness is manifested in you.
godly, always looking for one thing. Always looking for one thing. I always do that which pleases the Father. See, yes, sir, always. That's godliness. Godliness is to always do that which pleases the Father. And then sixthly, let's add, the Bible said here, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Now, after you got godliness, now, look through your brother's eyes. Put yourself in his place. Look through, when he does something that you don't like, or maybe he doesn't go out to eat with you, or put all the different things in place. Maybe he gets sick or whatever. You begin to put yourself in his place and look through his eyes. Brother Brown said, put yourself in his place on the matter. Have patience with him. Have patience with him and deal with him. Brotherly kindness. You see, a brother is all out of tune. Don't be impatient with him. Be kind to him. Go anyhow, hoping someday. Be impatient with him, enduring with him, to understand what he believes. It's in his heart. That's what is virtue in yourself, to let it go out with kindness, meekness to him, having faith that someday God will bring him in. Remembering in his heart, he is a believer. Now there's brotherly kindness. When somebody makes a little slip up or whatever, you remember, that's a believer. Amen. That's my brother. Amen. And you're looking at that brother differently now, because you're looking at him knowing that that's a believer. It's not just somebody out there on the street or something. That's my brother. Amen. That's my brother or sister. And you begin to treat that brother or sister differently, because you know you're part of the same body. Amen. You're part of the same family. You're part of the same family of God. It don't matter what their skin color is, or where they come from, what their background was, what kind of life they had. They might have been like Rahab or whatever, but that's your brother. Amen. And you love them. Brotherly kindness. Amen. The Holy Ghost is what does it. The Holy Ghost is what changes. The Holy Ghost is the only thing that can make you look at somebody like that, where you begin to ignore over, like the Bible says, love is what covers over a multitude of sins. Love is the thing that covers. Love just kind of bypass. When somebody wrongs you, you begin to look through eyes of love. Brother Bram said, feeling for your brother. And he said, if what is supposed to the church, what is purpose to the church, the life that was in Christ isn't reflected in you, don't you stand still if you haven't got patience and virtue, all these things, and temperance and things, and godliness and brotherly kindness and all these things that's required of you. No matter what you've done, no matter how much you've shouted, how many churches you've joined, how many feathers you've pinned into yourself, don't do it. Wait till genuinely from your heart you can forgive, till in your heart you have brotherly kindness. No matter if they pull a handful of beard from one side, you can turn the other cheek with sweetness, see, until all those virtues, no matter what they say to you. Do you realize what kind of a church it would be? And I speak positively. I believe we're coming to a place like that. I believe, like the brother was preaching on Sunday, we're not preaching necessarily to what we look at, but to what God's Word says we are. And that's what we are. God made a way for it. And I believe we're coming to a place where the devil won't know what to do with us. Do you realize what you would be if you come to that full stature of a church that where one individual is not trying to put themselves up above the other, where people love one another despite all the offenses and things that maybe come just because of life, because of all the misunderstandings, but you love one another and put up with one another and are patient and kind. And he said, you've never seen a sweeter, kinder, gentler person that's got all these virtues in him. But it's what God requires. God requires it. How does he require it? Why does he require it? For what purpose? So that we can get out of here. That's why it's required. It's required. And there should be something yearning in your heart tonight, I believe, that you to be swallowed up with him, knowing that it's not something that you can manufacture, something that you can produce yourself, but it's only by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one that does it. The Holy Ghost is the only way. And now after all these things, then we'll add charity. After that, add charity. And Paul said, I can understand all mysteries, have all knowledge, have all these things, but yet without charity, without love, I'm nothing. And love is the thing that mixed in. When you talk to somebody, it's got to be in love. Mix everything in with love, because love is the Holy Ghost. Love is the Holy Ghost. There's waves coming down that powers the whole thing, drawing us up to the capstone. He said it never was put on the pyramid. They couldn't understand why the capping stone was rejected, the head Christ. But he said it will come someday. Amen.
It will come someday. And I believe he was looking back then to look into the future, but I believe now we're looking to a present tense. Why? Because it's been loosed. It's been opened up. The way is accessible. The seals have been opened. And when the seals are open, now the ministry has been loosed so that we can preach. We've got something to preach. And what are we preaching? That God has come to tabernacle himself in you. God, the musicians can come forward. God has come. God has made a way that God can tabernacle himself in you, can so envelop you and swallow you up in himself until you don't even see you anymore. And it's by the Holy Ghost. It's what the Holy Ghost has done. Not we ourselves. The Holy Ghost is the one that's done it. Brother Branham, at the end of that sermon, he said, I pledge this morning to him with all my heart that by his help and by his grace, I pray that I'll seek daily without ceasing until I feel every one of these requirements flowing in this little old stature of mine, till I can be a manifestation of the living Christ. I wonder if that's our prayer this afternoon as we stand to our feet. I wonder. If that's your prayer this afternoon, would you just signify and disobey the laws of gravity by lifting up your hand and say, that's my desire tonight. Lord God, I want to be so swallowed up in you until the Holy Ghost is filling me with every one of these virtues so that I can be a living idol, a living tabernacle of a living God to prove that he's not dead, but he's alive, alive in me. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we close the service. Lord God, you saw all these hands raised, Lord God, and you saw the desire of your people, Lord Jesus. And my desire, Lord God, is that you, the Holy Ghost would just have preeminence in my life, Lord God. Preeminence in this church, Lord God, so that your power would flow through freely, Lord, not inhibited by our doubt, not inhibited by our reason, Lord Jesus. But Lord God, give free rein by our faith, believing the word that you have given to us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we know, Lord God, that all these promises that's been promised for this age now have been loosed, Lord God. It's available to us. A door has been opened up, Lord God. God, grant it, I pray, Lord, that you'll satisfy every desire tonight, Lord Jesus. Bless your people, Lord, we pray. If you have a need this afternoon, we're willing to pray for you. Let's just worship him in song.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more cloud in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye, all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Day there will be. What a day there will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness nor pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, for my Jesus I shall say, when I look upon his face.
what a day that will be. Aren't you glad to be a Christian and have access to these benefits? God is good to us, isn't he? Even when you're walking through hard times, he's still there on the scene.
You got one more? What's that?
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
It's worshiping me.
Hear my humble cry.
While he's moving by, now is the time to reach out and touch him by faith. Just touch him.
I'm calling Savior. Blessed Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art.
And minds clear. Lord God, we're so grateful to you, Lord Jesus, for your word. So grateful, Lord, for the message that you've given us to us, Lord. We should be the most grateful and thankful people on the face of the earth to be believers in this end time hour. Lord, I pray that you'll just bless your people as they go their different ways, Lord Jesus, and bless this church. Bless Brother Dale, Lord. Bless Brother Way and keep your people, Lord. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're dismissed.